Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. What am I supposed to hit? There we go. So, change of pace. We'll talk about photons because, you know, there's no reasonable arguments to counter regarding the whole momentum versus kinetic energy thing. So, and photons are of interest. Interesting phenomenon. And so I made an observation this week that I didn't realize. Okay, so microwave oven. All right. And, you know, it has these little holes in the door. All right. And, you know, the idea is we're not getting microwaved. But clearly it's producing an awful lot of something. Okay, it gets out of it. It leaks a lot of stuff. Because what I observed was I had a tablet running a streamed video, you know, on an internal network, and when the microwave's on, it just wipes everything out. Okay, so you know, it's obviously jamming, okay, the signal, the Wi-Fi signal going to the tablet, and you know, it wasn't a small distance. I mean, you could be 10, 15 feet away, and while the microwave's running, no signal. So that got me thinking about, you know, why that would be. And so the first thing I'd say is, okay, the microwaves are trying to get out of the oven, and the door has these holes in it, so what's the purpose of the holes? And why are they round holes, not square holes? And it's occurred to me, okay, that's this whole idea of that for light to be a beam of light, it means that there's a frequency, okay, so I've sort of pointed that out in other videos pretty clearly, that I think the frequency just has to do with the separation between the little quantas, you know, the little cues of energy, the little bits of force, and, you know, makes a lot of sense, explains radio waves, all that stuff, in the sense that you're just talking about a distance between events, you know, a distance between hits of energy. And so, let's say a photon traveling through space from a distant star, it obviously has to be pretty uninterrupted, or it's not going to, you know, we're not going to see it as a photon in all those places. It's like you could backtrack all the way back to the star, and you'd always get a photon, always get a photon, always get a photon. So, the idea is that a photon that's durable is basically, you know, these things at a frequency that have a polarization. That is, they fly in an arrangement, you know, like airplanes or something, jet fighters or whatever. And, you know, they have the proper distance between each other, but they also have a distance in two dimensions. So it's an object that has a profile, okay, that you would call a photon. And that's the way it needs to hit a surface to create what we see as a visible light, in the sense that it's going to hit and reflect the energy, and we'll see it with its frequency, and depending on how it hits the surface, we'll see a different color. So you could argue that the photons going somewhere don't have a color, okay, until they get there. I mean, a white photon can be any color photon. You could argue. I will argue. But it doesn't really matter. We won't get into that kind of depth. So the point is that I was just thinking about the idea that the radiation, the bits themselves, they're independent. And it just has to do with the fact that they end up in an arrangement when they hit a surface. So they hit a surface, and you could argue that there could be a bit from here, and 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 it just recreates this sequence. And that becomes a photon. And that's sort of what's the opposite's happening here with the microwave, in the sense that the holes are kind of like a slit, yeah, kind of just like. And as this stuff goes through, what's happening is these pieces, okay, are being scattered. And they're being scattered in all directions. So you could sort of understand that if light was coming, if microwaves, that is, microwaves that were intact, hit through one of those openings, what's happening is pieces of it, okay, are being destroyed, okay, and so then there's not the proper pattern. So say you need four of these kind of hits in sequence to create a photon. It might just be two, might be three, might be four, might be ten. I don't know. But anyway, so like, you know, when this pattern is going through that door, yeah, pieces of it are getting thrown in different directions. So it has an order going in, and then it has this first off, it's being spread. Okay, so it's the pieces are now covering more surface. So you have a certain number of pieces, okay, and you have a certain surface area, and obviously as the pieces get spread, there's less and less likelihood, okay, that you're going to recreate this sequence, because the odds of the photons being scattered and coming, you know, to one location, okay, to a small area to recreate this polarization profile, they won't be in this polarization. They'll be in a polarization like this, you know, some much wider polarization. They might land in the right, you know, bang, 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 but they're doing it over too large a distance. And so they're not going to recreate the pattern necessary to cause the reaction in the atom, which in the reaction in the atom is pretty much just electricity. What you're basically doing is tipping point kind of argument. You're adding energy to a system. So you hit an electron with the first bit, it moves, and then you hit it, you hit the pressure the electron creates by moving. So say the electron moves inside of an atom, it's going to move the electron in the next atom, and then another piece of energy hits that electron, gives it a little energy, and so it already had energy going this way, a little more energy is added this way, a little more energy is added this way, and that creates the electricity that's sort of associated with photons, recreation of another photon. The reaction of the electricity is going to be the movement, the sharp movement of an electron, and it's going to move in the direction of out instead of in, and therefore you're going to see the pressure the electron creates by moving. It's going to push the little bits, compact them. Alright, I'll erase this and move on. It's tired. Alright, so I've heard talk from physicist type people. Who knows? Each physicist might have their own story about how this works, but of the atom and these analogies. So it's like a penny on the 50-yard line on a football field, you know, and the electron is a grain of rice, you know, in the bleacher seats. So, you know, you have this huge amount of nothing and a very tiny amount of something. Now, it seems unlikely that those proportions could be correct, because they also say, like, say a mirrored surface, that the energy of the photons doesn't penetrate much more than 17 atoms. Now, but that's as far as the energy goes before it actually hits something to create a reaction that will be acknowledged as photons. So whatever you think the reaction is that photons create, but somehow you can only go 17 atoms worth, you know, or 20, before that energy gets reflected as a photon. So it just seems pretty unlikely with those. I mean, I can't draw the proportions because you wouldn't be able to see the dots, you know, and it's, you know, but it's a tiny amount of space that you're the idea is that photons really are just pushing electrons, so it's electron force, blah blah blah. And electrons are the only thing that's really reacting to create a photon. So you're moving an electron, and when you move the electron, the other electrons move. So it doesn't really fit. Now, they have different reasons for believing these dimensions, but you know, all that reasoning is, you know, not hard evidence. It's all kind of just little pieces of deduction, and I can't say it's right or wrong, so I'll just argue that it doesn't seem likely that those proportions are right. So I'm going to say electrons are a little bigger than that, okay, since you have to have some realistic chance of hitting the thing. But the idea is that each little piece of energy, you know, that would make a photon is an independent agent. And you could understand how, yeah, each one goes a different distance before it hits an electron. Before it interacts with an electron, gives the electron momentum, and then causes the chain reaction that takes place when you move the electron. And so, you know, it got me just thinking about, when the energy hits a surface, that the photon doesn't really exist until, you know, it exists, but I mean, it can be reacting in all kinds of layers of the material before the actual sequence of events that happen in the right order actually happens. And it could happen here, it could happen there, it could happen in different places inside the material. Theoretically, the energy could go straight right through and not hit anything. Theoretically. But we know that there's objects that are very opaque. And they're just opaque to certain energy and then certain other energy. So I would argue, I guess, is what I'm saying is that the photons are the microwaves or all of that stuff just gets converted into some other form of radiation. So the light that gets absorbed just gets turned into, infrared or radio. So it goes in one way, the little pieces end up flying back, and the flying back pieces can reform as either, a sequence that adds up to a blue light, or it could, be something like, a radio wave. And just kind of depends on what the surface is and how big an area it collects the energy over is going to decide what it gets back as radiation. And all that's going to be also decided by how much the energy has spread, okay? How much of it's diverging from how it actually went in the first place. So it goes in, you could say, with light. We send it in pretty parallel and pretty strong as light, photons, off one surface into another. Pretty straightforward amount of energy, and it's coming back more scattered and more spread, and therefore more likely to be converted into a lower form of radiation rather than a higher form. To make a higher form of radiation, you'd have to focus it, right? You'd have to have some mechanism to take the energy and concentrate it, and then you're more likely to create recreations of the energy at a higher frequency. So you could argue that you should be able to change the color of light then by focusing light, which does happen to a tiny extent. Lenses will create a blue tinge to things, indicating that they're creating some aberrant light in the blue frequencies. So there's a little evidence for that. But little. All right. So anyway, this is just stuff I'm musing over, okay, in terms of better understanding the nature of photons. So part of what I'm saying is that you can have photons that are in one piece and just travel from point A to point B as what they are, because they don't interact with anything. And then you can also have photons, okay, created or landing on a surface, energy landing on a surface, that's really the consequence of pieces from different locations just happening to land in the right sequence. And it's easier for them to land in the right sequence over larger spaces than smaller spaces, in the sense that it's easy to create a radio signal or a piece of radio radiation, or to create a bit of heat, infrared radiation. These are much easier than our microwaves, right? Microwaves come in before the infrared. So before infrared is, infrared is much higher frequency, and you have the microwave frequencies. So you can create microwaves out of, other aberrant light. But the trick is the microwaves and the infrared, the polarization is changing as the frequency changes. So as the frequency gets smaller and smaller, higher and higher, So does the polarization get narrower and narrower. You have to hit, the energy has to be in a smaller, it has to hit a smaller and smaller surface to be recognized. The polarization has to be tighter and tighter for the energy to create the photon, so to speak. So you're less likely to create the high frequency ones than the low frequency ones. You're less likely to receive them on a surface because they have to happen over a tinier amount of, they have to hit a smaller amount of space where everything happens, the perfect storm kind of thing happens. And so this sort of explains the fact that there are random photons, so to speak, in everything. Hitting you all the time are a couple of X-rays. A couple of high-frequency photons hit you, and their origin, you know, can be unknown. You know, background, so to speak. And it's, they might be just a recreation. They might just be a manifestation of other forms of radiation that just happen to land in a small enough area at the right sequence to be, to cause the same effect as an X-ray. It's the right pattern. So it's just about a pattern. Like I said, the pattern, I think, is just something like, you know, bits moving in space, parallel, okay, if they're going to stay intact. If they're not going to stay intact, they have to land on a surface. They have to hit an atom, then a millisecond later has to hit this atom, and then a millisecond later it has to hit this atom, and by atom I mean the electron. They have to hit an electron here, then as that pressure radiates into the other atoms and vibrates them, it has to hit this one while it's being vibrated out, and then that pushes more energy into that electron, so you have a wave that puts some energy in. You know, the electron's moving 25 miles an hour. You're going to push another electron, and now you're going to add to that 20 miles an hour it still might have, and you're going to add another 10, so now it's going 30. And then you're going to add another, you know, whatever, 8. Now you have one going 38, you know, as you go forward. So it has to hit those sequences, and then you end up with an electron with enough energy to jump from one atom to another. And, all right, something like that. Are to jump out of the, off the surface. Alright. So what else do I want to say? Might be enough. I mean, like I said, this is really draft. Just musing over, like I said, the fact that there's still a lot of radiation coming through the leaving the microwave. It's just that it can't land on me as microwaves because the bits have been scattered. And so I'm just going to receive it on bigger surfaces as lesser radiation. But clearly the device is seeing it as microwaves. And it's enough to jam its signal. It's enough noise, enough microwave noise. It's at the same frequency as the tablet's using. And it's creating too much of a counter signal, and the tablet can't figure out, can't hear what it's listening for because there's too much noise interfering with the signal it's receiving. Alright, so ionization is a key part of understanding the distinction between, I don't know. I mean, I'd hate to say electricity that matters and electricity that doesn't, but really all you're talking about is the speed of electrons and what the implication of the speed is, and, what happens to atoms. So, obviously, over this, once you get past whatever, a green light, and then you get to blue and the ultraviolet, is where you start to give the electrons enough momentum that, speed, that they escape the magnetic connection inside the atoms. So the idea of electrons orbiting and doing all this fancy stuff to me makes no sense at all, because all these electrons kind of have to know where each other is, right? I mean, there's electrons, and they're all, you know, kind of focused on the attraction to the nucleus, the positive. And they really do have to communicate with each other. You move this electron, these electrons all move, and then this one moves down here, and so they're all under pressure, and they convey to each other the message of movement. And so the whole argument is to create ionizing radiation, you're causing enough momentum. So instead of, you know, going 10 miles an hour and then 15 here, so you hit this one moves at 10, then you hit another piece of energy, and this one moves at 15, this one moves at 20. Obviously it reaches some threshold of 30, okay, that allows the electron to leave. Now all these still moved, so the only part that's sort of relevant to the what energy is produced to the external world just has to do with how, you know, this motion. The electron moves in a direction, compresses the force where it's moving. So as an electron moves through space, it's hitting force bits all the time that are hitting it. And if it moves in this direction, obviously it causes all these reflections that would have happened here to all happen in some new location, right? It's taking all the energy from here to here and sort of compressing it, okay, into a smaller amount of space, and then everything going in the direction it wasn't going, the opposite direction, is getting expanded in the sense it's not reflecting. So as I move away from you, the hand moves away from you, fewer and fewer of those reflections happen because the hand is moving away from the source of the energy. And theoretically, if I move at the speed of light, the hand is invisible because no energy is being collected off the hand. None is reflecting back to you. So it's the idea of creating the higher frequency in the sense that as you're moving towards something, you compress. As you move away from something, you're expanding. And so the electrons are all doing that as they're jitting around. And so if you see radio waves, it's because the electrons are moving at a certain speed, okay, bouncing on the surface. They're going up and going back down again, and going back up and going back down again. So they're creating the frequency, the expansions and the compressions that are creating the frequency that you see. And it's just a fluke of the circumstance that when you reach this ionizing speed, a different event happens where the electron leaves. So you could argue that all electricity is ions in a perfect direction. You're just moving, like say, through a conductor. The ionization is going in one direction through the wire. Okay, so you're just creating ions through the wire. And you can sort of, you know, you do some of this biology stuff, you know, when they do how the heart works. And it's, you know, it's this kind of interesting idea that it is all just about ionize, you know, creating positive ions and then negative ions. So the surface of your heart is just changing from positive to negative ions. So, you know, the electricity shoots across it, causes the heart muscles to contract, and it's because the surface is being ionized constantly. Positive, every time it beats, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative. Just keeps switching the ionization, positive and negative. So what else do I want to say about that? But it's all contained. I mean, there's no counter thing that needs to unionize and all this kind of crap. So I don't know how to exactly explain that. You know, on the surface, you know, light isn't involved. Because it's all happening through conductive neural tissues. I guess it doesn't have to be neural tissues, it's just tissues. The muscle tissues are ionizable. But it's happening inside that, you know, the ionization is happening inside. It's not projecting to the external world. It's not shooting electrons. And even when it shoots an ionized electron, you know, there's an electron leaves the surface, doesn't mean it stays left, okay? It leaves, you create a negative ion here because the electron's gone. I guess it's a positive ion. Because it's missing its electron, so it's more positive than it should be. But the electron doesn't go permanently away, okay? It just comes back down and positive, you know, negatively ionizes another atom. You know, the electron goes back into the system, and then they rebalance and all that kind of crap. So the ionization is only temporary. Yeah. But there's no hard connection, okay, between the form of the photon, you know, the fact that it's a ultraviolet photon, that part of the process of the creating the light or the energy, the reflection, the energy going back out, doesn't have much to do with the fact that the electron happens to actually be creating an ion at the same time. It just has to do with the fact that this, the jiggle has gotten so substantial that it temporarily leaves the atom and creates an ion. All right. See, there's a lot to it, you know. There's not, this isn't, you know. The perfect model is not going to be, the complete model isn't going to be, you know, without some complication, you know, in terms of you got to put all these pieces correctly together, the geometry of the atom, you know, how the vibration moves through it, how the movement moves through it. All of these things are going to be details. But I think that's more right track than the conventional model of this silly electron spinning around and doing all this motion stuff where they would never be able to communicate one atom to another. There'd be no communication between atoms if electrons are spinning all over the place. You couldn't spread the motion of one electron to the motion of another electron over here if the electrons are, they don't have any sensible, reasonable momentum. You know, their momentum is you know, what you're really saying in a sense is the orbits would have to be constantly getting bigger and smaller, and because how else would you convey the momentum to the electron except by changing its velocity in its orbit? And so the only way you could change, by changing its velocity, all you do is change the size of its orbit, and but all of those changes, how would you ever get back to a stable orbit? So how would you ever have a stable atom? It seems impossible, very improbable to me. And certainly none of the chemistry would hold together. So I think that's way off. This, you know, it's a magnetic model. Atoms are electrons and protons in pretty specific locations, and all they do is jitter, mostly. Except when they're ionizing. Then the electron jumps from one atom to another, literally. It creates a negative ion here, a positive ion next door. Or it sends electrons off the surface. Those are the two choices. All right, it's probably enough. So, like I said, draft video. Can't take any of it too seriously, except, but like I said, I'll make some points that I've already explained how a particulate model of a photon works so much better in explaining the double slit experiment. And again, I think it's so much more rational to think of a 1 mile long radio wave as being a mile distance between a compression in the energy. That it's actually bits of energy, and you have a bunch of bits concentrated in a small area here, and then a mile away there's another concentration of bits. Then thinking of some wave thing, some, you know, incrementally going up and down amount of energy in the field. Not likely. Not probable, in my opinion. Anywhere close. It's just it's a Morse code signal. The signals are in Morse code. These are just dots, and the dashes are the offs. It's a dot, it's on, then there's an amount of distance of off, and then there's an on, and then there's an amount of distance of off, and then there's an on. Yeah. It's bits of energy, bits of information. Okay, so we'll call that a video. So, till the next time and such. This has been DraftPhysics.com. Video presentation.